Matthew chapter 5, so this is the Beatitudes, which Aaron didn't know we were going to mention today, which is good. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift that it is, and we know that you speak to us through your word today. And you also speak to us through people. So, Lord, we thank you for Anthony and his being here today. Would you bless Ivy Church today as they gather and as we are blessed through Anthony's ministry here today? Lord, would your hand be upon him now as he speaks to us? And would you give us ears to hear what you want to say to us today? Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Lee. Well, again, thank you for the invitation. It's great to be here and be invited to come and speak to you. I think we're in a time, possibly more than I think in my lifetime, when it's so important that there be peacemakers, and that's really what I want to talk about, because there's so much unrest, there's so much division, there's so much potential for that, and I don't just mean on a global level in terms of, you know, Emma just prayed for us with regard to the Ukraine and Russia, and that's just the war that's kind of closest to us, but there's continually wars around the world, there's conflict on social media, there can be conflict in our streets. There's certainly conflict with regard to our governments, and not just between political parties, but as we've seen, right in the middle of every party, it seems to me there's just, like, you know, it used to be perhaps if you drew like a bell curve, you might have some people over on this side who are kind of for something, and some people over here who are against something, but the vast majority were somewhere in the middle. Where I think now the way we are, we tend to have an issue over here and an issue over here, and people shout at each other about it. And where's that kind of common ground? Where's the, you know, we define ourselves by what we're against and who we're against. And so I think into all those things, there's an opportunity for us as the church. What we should be is we should be peacemakers. And in doing so, in that scripture and the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke to his disciples specifically. And he said, if you want to look like my children, if you want to look like people who know me, then you need to be peacemakers, because that's what my children do. So that's what we're going to look at today. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And the word there in Greek doesn't just mean somebody with like a peaceable disposition. Like, have you ever met that kind of person who, no matter what, they just sort of seem to be serene and calm and everything? You know, that, there are people like that, usually winding up the rest of us. But really, what this means is somebody who acts for peace. It's that's the idea. It's not just somebody who's like, you know, just relaxed all the time. It's actually a peacemaker is somebody who acts to make peace happen, who works for peace. The Oxford English Dictionary defines a peacemaker as a person who brings about peace, especially by reconciling adversaries. So you've got two kinds of people. You've got people with different viewpoints. You've got people who could even be seen as enemies. And somebody who brings them together, that's what a peacemaker does. So, that's a question for me to think about. Am I a peacemaker? But before we go into looking at how we can have peace and make peace with other people or even between other people, I want to talk about something I think is even more important than that. Because, you know, we've all had friends and they come and go. We've had people that have, you know, I might be friends with you for a while, then we might fall out and hopefully it's not too bad and we might never ever see each other again in this life. And that could be sad. But if I'm estranged from God, that lasts forever. That's really what I think is important for me to address first of all, is do you have peace with God today? Because that's the place where peace with other people is going to come out of. And in the end, it doesn't really matter if I've got peace with you and peace with you, but if I've got this barrier between me and God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. And it took the Son of God to come and make that possible for somebody like me, who's a sinner, to have peace, to make peace with God. That's what we want to look at for a little while, first of all. And there's this illustration you might have seen, the bridge illustration. It's in various booklets and Christian literature. You get this idea, this picture of this bridge that is formed. Knowing God Personally was a little booklet I used to carry around with me all the time when I was in the police, and I'd hand it out to people. But sometimes I'd be sitting in a pub and somebody would chat to me or you know, ask me, what does it mean? What is the good news? What is gospel? How do I get to connect with God? And, you know, on the back of a beer mat or whatever, I'd end up getting a pen and drawing this sort of picture. I didn't draw as well as this drawing has been drawn, but I kind of do a version of it. And the idea is that Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker, because the Bible says there's one God and one mediator between people and God, Jesus Christ. He is the one mediator between God and man. And we might think, well, why do I need a mediator? Why do I need a go-between? Why do I need somebody to come and sort that out? Well, the problem, first of all, is that there's a problem. You know, we have to understand that there's a problem between me and God. And it's not him who's the problem. It's my problem, because the Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 says that. And when we say we've sinned, you might know this, but the word comes from archery. The idea is, if I'm kind of got my bow and arrow and I fire it, I might hit the target, great, whether or not I get a score or a bullseye, but I've hit the target, or I might miss the target, which means that there's the target and I've gone past it to the side or above it or something. That's a miss. But what they would do, like in medieval times, they would shout hit, miss, or sin. And sin was that when the arrow just sort of comes out and doesn't even make the target, it just sort of, you know, droops out the end of the bow. That's a sin. It's fallen short. And what this says is then, even in the good things that I might want to do, as I try to get to God, I fall short of the glory of God. Means that, well, if there was a jumping across the English Channel competition, between me and Lee. Well, I can see he's, you know, sort of younger than me and athletic looking and all that kind of thing. So, you know, I would think he'd probably jump further than I could jump. But we're both getting wet, because the distance is too far. And again, if there was a being good enough for God between me and somebody else, when I was in the police, I would be able to deal with the fact that I fell short, because I could always point to somebody else and think, well, I'm not as bad as that person that I arrested. I'm not as bad as, and if I really felt bad, I could go out and arrest somebody else, I suppose. Because I was comparing with other people, and we can do that. But what if the standard of judgment isn't between me and somebody else, however I might? What if I'm not even reliable to be able to know whether or not they're better than me or worse than me? And the fact that I'm even judging them in that way is part of my sin. And I might think, well, you know, why didn't God just turn a blind eye? You know, people do bad things sometimes, and, you know, I can say it's okay, so, you know, it's just human nature. Why can't God deal with that? But the problem is, it causes a separation. It causes a break in the relationship. It's like, you know, I'm married. I've been married for 35-ish years. Wish I'd practiced that earlier. But if I'm in a row with my wife, which, you know, has happened occasionally over the years, there's like this separate. There's not the ease of relationship. There isn't the closeness of connection that we were made for and meant for. On the day in 1987 when we got married, we were like, we want to be like this. We want to be that close. And the things I do can cause a separation. It can, you know. And in the end, people end up getting separated, don't they? as a result of those things. And then maybe it ends up in a divorce. Well, the Bible says in Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities, in other words, for your sins, have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And that doesn't mean he's never going to hear at all. Sometimes when we pray, you know, if you're desperate, and I bet everybody, we've cried out, oh, God help, God help. And then something happened and he did help. And then what do? I tend to think, well, that was lucky. You know, oh, good old me sorting that out. It's like we can hear him, but he's on the other side of a door. And vice versa, there's something that comes in as a separation. And we wonder why God doesn't feel as close, perhaps as close as he used to. Maybe he could even come to a point in the time when you look back and you think, you know, yeah, I gave my life to Jesus, like they said. You know, 19, whenever it was, 80-something or 90-something, or whatever. I did that then, but am I close now? Have I got peace with him now? Which side of the cross am I living on? Am I living on that side? Am I living on this side? Because Romans 5, make no mistake, says that sin makes us God's enemies. And we can't just befriend God on our own terms or tell him we should just forgive us. I mean, again, I'm thinking about that with my wife. With my wife, if I was to say to her when she's upset with me and it's all my fault, well, you should just forgive me. I'll tell you, that doesn't really help. You know? I've got to look at me. I've got to look at what I've done wrong. And just because my sin doesn't matter that much to me, doesn't mean it shouldn't matter to him. Because the difference is he's really holy. He's holy, 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 holy. Keep on going with the holies like they do in heaven. Because he didn't. And so the problem with this is he did nothing wrong. It was all my fault. It was all our fault. So we have to come to Jesus Christ and ask him to save us from sin. We have to ask him really clearly. And I mean, again, the church sometimes doesn't talk like this very often anymore about the fact that so many things that are broken and messed up in our world are the result of sin. And see that sin has its consequences in terms of greed and in terms of selfishness. And what we want to do is redefine everything. We want to redefine everything so that then it's all about what I feel is good is good. What I think is good is good. That's it. And if I don't think it's good, I don't feel it's good, then it's not good. But what if God is the one who's ultimately in charge of saying what is good and what is bad? And what if God has actually come to make a bridge across, to reach across to us so that we can put our hand in his hand and he leads us through to be able to live in this different way of life on this side of forever and ever? And that's what the Bible says. Romans 5:1 says that the only way that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the one who comes and bridges the gap and does what I could never do to help me to be able to live this side for God. Because otherwise, I'll be honest with you, I've lived that side. And every now and then, I sometimes walk back over. You know? There was a time when I said, Jesus, I don't want to live like that. I'm turning away from that. Please, would you help me? And I've come and walked over this side and lived this. It's way better. It's way better to live. And this is where God wants us to live today, now, and forever. But I can sometimes see something over there. I think, oh, that looks interesting. Oh, go on. Oh, that's, oh, ooh, oh. Why do I feel so bad? Because you're bad. Because you've done wrong. Because I've done wrong. Can we admit it? These days, it's hard to even admit it. Nobody wants to say anything's bad. Nobody wants to say anything's wrong, but in the end, it's like, that's the problem. If I live this side, I'm not going to be living the life that God's got for me. That's why I've got to say, Jesus, save me. Not just back then, like he did for me when I was 21 years of age. Save me this morning. Save me again in every way that I need to be saved and to reach out for him. And it's like Peter, you know, when he goes down in the water and he sinks down and he just cries out and Jesus grabs hold of him and pulls him back up again. Jesus didn't just save Peter once. All the way through with the walk with him, he was like, getting it wrong, getting it right, getting it wrong, getting it right. That's the whole of the sermon. But basically, this sin, living this side, affects everything. It affects my relationships. I can't have peace with you if I've not got peace with God. And that's why we have to look at this. And then I discover, while I'm over here, at this point, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us, God's loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever, that means me, believes in him, puts their trust in him, will not perish but will have everlasting life. If I live this side, I'm going to perish. I'm going to live separated from God. I'm going to die separate from God. Jesus is the peacemaker. He's done everything necessary. Everything I couldn't do to bridge the gap, to die the death, to take the punishment, to pay the price, to ransom me, to kick down the wall and the barrier and clear up all the rubbish. He's done it all. So then what do we do? If he's done it all, we have to act. We have to, you know, it's no good just sitting here and thinking, oh, Jesus did all that and then staying here. I'm going to have to turn around. I'm going to have to come back to him and say, God, I'm sorry, and I want to live this side. I want to live with you forever so that I can move from this side where the wages of sin is death. Jesus paid the price to give me a free gift so I don't get the wages. He took the punishment on the cross. So if I believe in him, then I will live with God forever as a free gift, not because I've earned it or deserved it. I could never do that, but I'm going to live this side. And the Bible says I've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. I'm no longer an alien and a stranger. I'm adopted into his family forever. I've got an inheritance. I've got new power to be able to live the kind of life that I always dreamed I could live, but over this side never really thought I could live. Everything starts to change, and you get the fruit of the Spirit starting to grow inside of you. If you live this side, you've got the whole thing, me, which is love and joy and peace. Peace with God. So how do I get that? Well, first of all, ask him. That's A. Ask him to save me, to do what I could never do myself because my sin separates me from a holy God. Now, we're going to pray this prayer before we move on. I'm going to do this. I'm going to invite you to do it. And whether or not you've done it before, if you need peace with God and you're not sure you've got it, then reach out a hand and just say, I need that. I want to live that side. So I'm going to act. I'm not just going to listen, not disagree. I'm going to do something about it. Ask him to save. Confess and turn away from everything that I know to be wrong that keeps on messing my life up. And then in simple faith, just to thank God that he has come, that his son has died in my place on the cross for my sins. It took me a while to realize that. It wasn't just for the sins of the whole world. When I was brought up as a kid, I heard that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. I just didn't know it really meant me. I didn't know it was that personal. And now, whenever I sin, and I know that I have done and I'll do what I will, I will do it well in the future, I just want to keep coming back to the cross and to receive his love and to know him, not just as my forgiver and friend, but as my Lord and as my leader, and to keep on helping me to live this side of the cross because it is so much better. So I'm not just going to say, give your life to Jesus. So lots of people have to say to you, have you given your life to Jesus? Did you give your life to Jesus? You might be able to say, oh yes, I gave my life to Jesus. Billy Graham, 19, whenever it was, or where, you know, this happened. All right, great. Do you live your life for Jesus? Because it isn't just about I gave my life to Jesus, it's I'm going to live my life for Jesus. And that's the way that we get peace with God. So I want you to close your eyes and just have a moment before we move on and start thinking about peace with other people. Have you got peace with God today? Because you'll never be the peacemaker, the child of God that he wants you to be until you have peace with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And again, is there anybody here? In a moment, I'll ask you to stick up a hand so I can see it. And it isn't so that I'll have some ego trip and know about it. It's so that you will know for sure, yes, I've done this, whether for the first time or maybe through all the stuff and the rubbish we've been through in the last few years, you felt like you kind of drifted away and you're not even sure if you've got peace with God. But it isn't going to depend on you. It's going to depend on him. I'm going to ask you to put up a hand like Peter did when he was drowning and say, Jesus, save me, and ask him to do it or do it again. So hands up in just a moment. And again, I just wouldn't be doing my job if I just went and started talking about peace with other people, if we didn't offer and get this sorted out, the everlasting peace that comes through Jesus Christ by what he's done for me on the cross. And the cross has that vertical dimension and the horizontal. And the upward direction is from me to God and God to me before the horizontal can be sorted out. So hands up. Anybody want to pray with me right now? I'm putting my hand up to say, Lord, I just want to be sure. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Yeah, thanks. Anybody else? Come on. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Just want to say to you, Lord, I know I don't deserve all of this, but I need that peace that comes from knowing that my sins are forgiven by you forever. And then as I've got that peace now filling my heart, I want to learn how to give it away and have it on every human interaction that I have. Anybody else? One more 30 seconds just to stick up a hand and say, I'm having that. I need that peace. I want peace with God that passes understanding. I don't want to be at war with God anymore. I'm coming back to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, just invite him to come into your heart, fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit and lead you and guide you. And he will. Great stuff. And that is the greatest thing anybody can do. Even if you're watching online, reviewing this later on, right where you are, you can do that. And I just recently spoke on this message, and we got a message of somebody who watched something at home and then got on his knees in his living room and he prayed that prayer. And then he said so many controlling addictions that he'd had in his life stopped right away. So now I'm going to quickly just talk about how to make peace with other people. Because I think some of us, again, we need to look at that. Now we've got the peace with God. How do I become a peacemaker? And I don't just mean a peacekeeper. Big difference. Sometimes we can end up being a peacekeeper. And that isn't what we're talking about. So we love to pray for peace. I'm glad that we did that before. And, you know, on a family, local, national, international level, our prayers are powerful and do make a difference. And don't ever doubt that. But sometimes I can spend my time right watching the news and filling, you know, scrolling through and watching stuff. And I ended up so worried about what's going on in the world that actually I've got no peace inside of me about it. So how can I be a peacemaker around it? There's a thing years ago I heard that was talked about circles of control and circle of concern. And you see, the things on the outside are the circle of concern. And that gets bigger and bigger the more I focus on everything that's wrong with the world, everything that's going on in the world. If I make that my focus, what happens is my circle of influence, the things I can change, get smaller and smaller. And because it all just feels outside of my control, and that circle of control gets smaller and smaller too. But if I focus on things that are my circle of control, which is like my own attitude, my own posts on Facebook that I like and share, my own reactions when somebody hurts me. If I focus on the circle of control, the things I'm praying about and thinking about, that if I focus on them, then that happens, something happens, that grows my circle of control, grows, and it grows my circle of influence. And actually, in the end, my circle of influence grows into my circle of concern. Because actually, if you've got peace inside of you and the world's looking for peace, then we get to affect that and we're able to spread that around us. Just the same way the opposite is true. If I'm like some angry, bitter, nasty, frustrated person, that's going to spread out in the world around me too, isn't it? The peace inside is what matters. So, have I got hate? Have I got hurt? Or have I got harmony on the inside of me? Are my interactions on a daily basis? Because when Jesus came to reach the world, he didn't come to form a nation or a political party or to change the world in that way. He came to change hearts. Because every war, every hatred that ever became a war or a battle in history started in a heart. And that's where he wants to bring his peace that the world cannot give. And this is where I make the decision. I want to be a peacemaker. Not just a peacekeeper. Because a peacemaker is about maintaining and repairing relationships. And again, even as I do that, I can look back at my own life and realize I've blown it, same as you have, in different ways than you have maybe. But we've all messed up. We've all sinned. Nobody's ever got this perfectly right on a human level. But we look back, and I want you to do that now, not with the purpose of regretting, but of evaluating. As we look at maybe as soon as I started talking about peacemaking or peacekeeping, there's somebody, could be a family member, could be a neighbour, could be somebody that you kind of, that person's name or that situation comes to mind. And maybe you're even thinking, I don't even know if we could ever sort that out. I'm not even sure I want to, perhaps. But that's the one I want you to think about. Yeah, apply it to that one, okay? And you might think, well, why should I do that? Or how can I do that? Great questions, because we're going to look through some things to do with that. You know, why should I bother with that person after what they did to me? Well, we carry on in the passage a little bit after what Lee read to us. He says this, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Nobody from the Inland Revenue in. Okay. Hands up if you love your family. Hands up if you love your friends. So what? That's what Jesus says here. It's like, so what? Anybody can do that. You know, it's easy to like people who like me. It's easy to love people if they love me. But now we're talking about the people that I find hard to love. And the fact is, maybe I'm the person that they find hard to love. You know, the person I've got a problem with could be the person that I'm the problem to. Jesus says, it's easy just to love the people who love me. And if you do that, you're just being like a human. That's natural. But if you want to be like God, if you want to be a child of God, and you want to be like, well, how did God treat us when we were his enemies? We just saw. He did everything possible to make us his friends. And again, naturally, I recoil from that. My background was never going to be like that. And then I went into the police, and it was a lot more kind of justice-driven. If you've done this, you deserve that. And you fight for your rights, and you right the wrongs, and I was never wrong. There were good guys and bad guys, and guess which one I was? So naturally, I nurse a grudge. Naturally, I self-protect. Naturally, we hate our enemies, or at least avoid them at all costs. And that can lead to this fake kind of peacemaking that isn't peacemaking, it's peacekeeping. But we just avoid the subject. We never talk about that person. We never, you know, want to connect with them. Peacekeeping is just avoidance very often of the person or the problem. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. And I don't think any of us like confrontation, do we really? If you find somebody who says, oh, I love confrontation, they're going to have a lot of problems. So what we're talking about is that, however, confrontation is necessary if I'm going to push through from that into peace with the other person and to be a peacemaker. So here's what I'm encouraging us to think about doing. Because in my experience, church people can be some of the worst at this. Because we'd rather be nice than real. And we'd rather just keep the peace than actually be a peacemaker and a deal with stuff. And we won't go and talk to the person. We might talk about them. Not even saying we're praying for them. So here we go. Let's go. How do we become a peacemaker? How do we build bridges? Number one, make the first move. You might want to take some notes on this if something, situation came to mind. Make the first move. Take the initiative. Don't wait for them to come to you. God didn't wait for us to be right before he sent Jesus to come and save us. So reach out, make the call, buy the coffee, send the text. It's not natural. It's not easy. But this is how we start to be able to build something back. Jesus built a bridge out of his own body to be able to save us. So it can be costly, it can be painful, it can be hard just to even do that. And if they don't respond or don't want to know, well, that's okay. I've done what I can do. But maybe that's the first step that God wants you to do this week. Then you might think, well, if I did contact them and if they did say yes, we'll have a connection or a phone, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do. Number two, ask God for wisdom. What's holding you back is, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say. But the book of James says, if anybody lacks wisdom, you should ask God, and he'll give it to them. God will give you the wisdom that you need about what to say and how to say it. And so just pray, God, I don't want some phony kind of fake peace. I want to be a peacemaker. I don't want to be kind of such a hypocrite that I'm praying for Russia and Ukraine to sort it out while I'm still not even right with my next door neighbor. So just ask him, as you make the first move, as you ask for wisdom, then number three, you start with what you got wrong in the conversation. Don't dive in with a list of accusations of everything that they did wrong. Who knows that that doesn't usually help? If I just go in with everything that you did and what you should have done. And you might say, yeah, but it's 99.9% their fault. Okay, God will say to you, well, what was the 0.1% that was your fault? And as you look at it, you probably find it's a bit more than that. Actually, so and rather than going in and telling them everything they did wrong, just go and apologize and confess for my own prejudice, for my own mistakes, for the things I got wrong, for even the fact that I've left it this long to reach out and try and build something back. There's something that I could say I'm sorry for. And then as Saint Francis of Assisi famously said, number four, seek first to understand rather than to be understood. So often that's the hardest part, just to be able to understand the other person. I'll never do that without listening to them. I have to listen to the other person to be able, and that means very often I've got to shut my own mouth. I'm not, again, these are things I'm telling you, not because I'm great at them, it's because I'm learning them. You know, it's Zoom, we all know Zoom now, don't we? By accident, recently, I was on a call and I pressed mute, and then I realized the other person was talking an awful lot. And it was about halfway through, I was thinking, oh, they're talking more than they usually do. Do you know why? Because I was on mute. Maybe I need a mute button just generally in my life. It's like, mute. And the other person starts to talk. And then I, guess what? I learn something from them because now they're talking about it. And then after they've got rid of everything that they're saying, and you say, and what else, and what else, and what else? Because eventually they'll run out of stuff to say and think about it. Then you do the next step, which is speak the truth in love. And I'm saying all of this because I think in church relationships too, there can be these sort of things. And God wants us healthy and full of love and to be full of peace. And if we haven't got these things going on in our church, then we're not going to be able to export it out to the world. And speak the truth in love is straight out of Scripture. Ephesians 4 verse 15. And what it means is that after I've thought about my own part of the problem, I've listened to them and understood and clarified what they think, then I get to speak tactfully the truth that I see about the situation. Because even if from where I sit it's 100% true, it isn't. It's just my side, isn't it? It's my viewpoint on whatever. And I've got to learn to listen to the other person and not just talk about you, and point the finger, but listen and think about me and talk about that. And years ago, there was a preacher called Alan Redpath who said something that I've always tried to remember, although I'm not sure I always put it into practice. But he says, in all of these interactions, before you speak, think. T-H-I-N-K. Is it, before I speak it out, is it true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind? That's the sort of thing you put in a kid's talk, but it could save the world, couldn't it? If I just learned to think and ask those questions before I speak, everything starts to change. And if it isn't any of those things, then just be quiet. And that leads to the final step, to focus on reconciliation, not resolution. Resolution just means that we've kept the peace and you know, let's just move on. But reconciliation is when we've built a new kind of relationship. But now we've established something on a healthy basis with the other person. We've got a healthy relationship with them. Now, I know, I'm going to say this, that may not always be possible. You know, if it's like, reconciliation is we've buried the hatchet. But if you try to do it and they just keep trying to hit you with the hatchet, I'm not saying that somebody should be allowed to abuse you, should be allowed to dominate you and manipulate you or to give you any physical, emotional, or spiritual form of abuse. Romans 12 verse 18 is really clear on what your part is. Should we read it out loud together? Why don't we read it out loud together? If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If. See, this says you could get to stage one, stage two, stage three. At any point, it could break down. But if you've done your bit, as far as it depends on you, and it doesn't always depend on you, it's going to depend on them too. I can only do my bit. I can't do your bit. And we can walk away. We might see things very differently. But we've hopefully been able to learn something from how the other person is. And as I say, it doesn't mean that necessarily I'm going to have to, you know, trust you again, and certainly not have to let you do something to hurt me again. But peacemakers can learn to disagree without being disagreeable, and that is spiritual maturity. We live in a civilization that is no longer civil, very often. And my prayer would be that God would do that other thing St. Francis of Assisi said in the same thing that maybe we learned when we were kids at school in that song, make me a channel of your peace. A channel means it's coming from somebody to somebody. So why don't we just pray? Why don't you put your hands out? Just, you know, just in a, because we're going to be a channel. means we're going to have something flowing in and something flowing out. And Lord, I want to be a channel. Make me a channel of your peace. Lord, now again, an opportunity to receive it from you, to connect with you, to know you. And then as one of your children, Lord, make me a channel that your love and your kindness and your peace and your forgiveness that I've received and don't deserve would be able to be passed on to those around me who don't deserve it either. And again, if there's anybody come to mind, situation that you know you need to at least take another step and try to resolve it, I bless that. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And it's in the end, it isn't just about them. It's not for them. What if it's for you? What if God doesn't want to do that for them so much as he wants to help you know how much he loves you by giving you an opportunity to extend that love to somebody else? I pray all these things, Lord, in your name, for your glory. Amen.